the 19th chapter of the book of Luke. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. Luke, the 19th chapter, we want to read but one verse of scripture, verse number 10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Let's pray. Father, again, thanking you for the wonderful Bible, the Word of God. Thank you for loving us today. Thank you for the wonderful salvation we have in Christ Jesus our Lord. And thank you for those who've come to be with us today, Father. And Lord, hear the preaching of the Bible, the Word of God. You help us. You empower us. We need you. We'll thank and praise you in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to preach a message this morning concerning verse number 10, concerning the fact that Jesus Christ, why he came, what was it all about. He makes it in a very plain statement that he came to seek and to save. And who did he come to do that for? That which was lost. Every single individual, no matter who we are upon the face of this earth, are lost unless we have come to that place where we have been born into the family of God through receiving Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Every person was at one time lost. Amen? That's just, or are lost now. The greatest decision that you can make is to make a decision for Jesus Christ and come to that place where you understand that you're lost, undone, and that Jesus loves you and has paid all the cost for your sin, and you repent, come to Christ, call upon him, realizing who he is, and you become a child of God. I think for every preacher, I feel this is that way. I know it is with this preacher. My greatest concern, my greatest fear would be that they would be people set in my congregation and not hear the gospel of Christ and would go on in their lost condition and never come to Christ. That is a terrible concern of this preacher. I believe with all of my heart there's people all over America that supposedly say they are saved that are unsaved. There was a Gallup poll taken here some time back, and it said in that Gallup poll that 74% of Americans claim some type of commitment to Jesus Christ. Now let me say this to you. Would you look at America and realize what's going on in America, and you want to tell me three-quarters of America is saved? No way. America, in the last, since 1973, murdered 36 million babies. 36 million. Since 1973, when it became legal. Abortion became legal. And we're in a country that says 74% of them has had a commitment to Jesus Christ. There's no way. Now what I'm saying to you is this. I'm not trying to bring it down to you personally, but you need to bring it down to you personally. You need to understand that you must be born again. I'm not talking about just being a church membership and not talking about just being a good person, trying to live a good life. There must be a new birth. There must be, according to the scripture, conversion, regeneration, new life given for you to be a child of God. Amen? Now, you won't mind that, folks. If you're saved, you won't mind that. Amen? Now, I'm not here to try to scare you. If I could, it'd be all right if it'd get you saved. But that's not what I'm here for. I'm trying to hear here to just give you truth of the Bible. That's all my desire is. I'm not here to judge you. I'm not trying to point a finger and say you're not saved or you are saved, because that's not for me to do. That's God to do that. Amen. But I do want you to search your heart and see if you're born again, God's child this morning. You need to do that. And nothing wrong with checking up, is there? Amen. Let me say something else at the start of this, okay? God loves you, and your relationship to Him is what counts, not your relationship to men. And should you find that you're not saved, it doesn't matter what men thinks. It matters what God thinks. It's not important what man thinks. It's important what God thinks. So I'm saying to you that this morning so that you understand that here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, we're more interested in what the Lord thinks than what any of us as men think. Amen. What we're going to do is go through some scriptures this morning. I want to show you, first of all, we're going to go over to the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians, the third chapter of the book of Galatians. And first of all, we want to share with you the fact that every single individual is condemned. The law of God condemns us. God's perfect law condemns us. That's in Galatians, the third chapter. Let me start reading at verse number 6. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Listen in verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. The Bible says that the book of the law of God, is a perfect law. And it absolutely, if you cannot keep every jot and tittle of the law, which is an impossibility for any person to do, then you have the curse of the law upon you and upon me. The law absolutely condemns every single one of us. The law says you are guilty because you cannot keep the law of God. I can either. No person ever could except Jesus Christ. That was all. He's the only one. So what he's telling us is we are condemned by the law. It condemns us in verse 11, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. In other words, in God's sight, there's no one that's justified by the law because all have broken the law. Is there anybody here would like to stand and say, I've never, ever broken any of God's laws? I think by your silence, you're saying, certainly I have. I'm standing, but I'm saying, I'm a lawbreaker. I'm God's lawbreaker. Amen? Now, the only way that we can be not condemned is by faith in Jesus Christ. And he says, and the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. In other words, if a person's going to claim the way they get saved or the way they stay saved is by the keeping the law of God, they're going to have to keep every one of them for the rest of their life. And again, that's an impossibility. So what God is telling us is this, that no matter who we are, we are condemned. The law of God absolutely condemns us. Every single person in this room, the law of God has said, you are guilty. Now, over in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come to the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Now here he's simply telling us something. Don't make any difference who you are. God says every single person is already condemned. You don't have to do anything to get condemned. You don't have to commit some terrible sin. The Bible says we are condemned already. Why? Because we have not believed upon the name of the only begotten Son of God, Jesus Christ. That's the reason we're condemned. Now, the only way we cannot be condemned is come to a place where we truly have believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. What I'm saying to you is this. If you've not been saved, if you've not come to that place where you've truly come to Christ, you're condemned already. You don't have to do anything to go to hell. Is that correct? According to the Bible, you don't have to do one thing. You're already on your way. See, Satan does a great job in trying to convince people if they'll just do good. I've got a fellow that I'm working with right now. Certainly won't give you his name. He is such a good works man. I can't bring him to the place where he understands he's lost, and he thinks because he goes out, and he does. He goes out and he helps people, and I mean he's constantly helping people. And he thinks because of that, he'll be all right with God. That's not true. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by his mercy he saved us. You see, you're saved by grace, not by works, at least any man should boast. You can't get to heaven by any good work that you'll ever do. Is that agreeable? Is that scripture? Amen. Now, he's simply telling us this. Then what we need a pardon from God Almighty. You're already condemned, and we need pardoned. All right? Now, if look over in chapter 10 of the Gospel of John, what we need is new life. Chapter 10, verse number 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Jesus says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. What Jesus came for was to give you new life. You need a new life. It's a spiritual life, but every individual needs new life, and that life comes through Jesus Christ. Look at chapter 6, verse 47 of John. Says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. The thing that you and I need is we're condemned. We need new life, and that life is found in Jesus Christ. Not in your works, not in church membership. And let me say this to you, because many people will grab a hold of that and say, well, I don't need to be a member of the church. I don't need to go to church. And that's foolish. You get saved, you want to go to church. You want to, because you know why? Because God puts that within your heart. You want to go to church. You get saved. You want to be in God's house. You want to be under the preaching of the Word of God. But it's not going to church that saves you. It's not being a church membership that saves you. It's not getting into the baptismal pool that saves you. It's not being a good fellow that saves you. It's not any of those things. It's only faith in Christ that saves us and gives us new life in Him. And we need that new life. You need new life. I needed new life. Look at chapter 5 of the book of John, 24th verse, and listen to what he says. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. You see, we were dead in trespasses in sin. When we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ and Him alone, we pass from death unto life. We have new life. That's what you and I needed, is new life. Now, you either have that or you don't. You're not in between. You're not sitting on a fence. You either are alive in Christ or dead in sin. One or the other. Amen? Isn't that right? According to the Bible, you need to pass from death unto life. And then, of course, in chapter 5, verse number 40, he said this, and ye will not come to me that ye might have life. The reason that people do not have life is because they choose not to come to Jesus Christ. We was dealing with a lady this week in the hospital who was 94 years old, had lived 94 years on this earth, and we explained to her the way of salvation, and she just could not get it in her mind that she could realize that she truly had sinned that bad. 94 years old, and she had lived that life, and she just felt like she hadn't really done anything that bad. Folks, you don't have to do anything that bad. What you have to do is remain an unbeliever. You see, he said the reason they wouldn't get life is because they wouldn't come to Christ. You need to come to Christ to be saved. You need to be born again. That's not a bad thing. That's a wonderful thing. That's what God wants for you and I. That's what happened to me in 1966. That's what's happened to many others in this room. They could probably give you a year, maybe even a date. I don't know. Some could give the date. But they'd tell you there was a time when they come to Christ and they were saved and God give them new life. Now, also, what needs to happen, and let's go back over to the book of Acts, the 16th chapter of the book of Acts. Verse number 30. Of course, this is a story of the Philippian jailer. I'm not going to read the whole story, but Paul and Silas was in jail. And this is the story as the earthquake happened there in that jail, and the doors came open. And he said in verse number 30, and he says, and he brought them out, and this is the jailer, brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. When he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all of his house. This man came and asked the question, "What must I do to be saved?" And he told him to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. He took them out, and he baptized them. They took them first in and washed his stripes and took care of them. And he took them and baptized them, and they fed them meat. And the Bible says that he believed in his believed on the Lord with his whole house. In other words, his other members of the household believed also. What I'm saying is this. There needs to come a time in your life when you believe. Truly believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just believe about him, but believe on him. Come to that place where God has convicted you of sin. And you say, "I'm a sinner in God's eyes, and I want to believe. I want to put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ." I make this statement from time to time. If there's no conviction of sin, there is no salvation. There has got to be a conviction of sin. That's why the Holy Spirit does. He convicts of sin and righteousness and judgment. And there must be a conviction of sin. We must see ourselves as God sees us, as a rotten sinner in need of a Savior. We need to be saved. If we're not saved, we need to be saved. We need to come to Christ and be born again. Go with me over to the book of Luke, please. The 19th chapter where we started at. Book of Luke. This is Zacchaeus. We'll start at verse number 5, or verse number 4. Zacchaeus, of course, wanted to see Jesus, and he says he ran before and climbed up in a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that was a sinner. Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, "This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham." And then, of course, he said what our text was, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Zacchaeus here is a perfect illustration of a man who wanted to come to Christ. He was drawn to the Lord. It was no doubt the Lord who had drawn him. And he got up into this tree and he saw the Lord. And he came down when the Lord asked him to come down, told him to come down. He came down. And the Bible says he received him joyfully. Now, I want to just tell you something. When you get saved, you're not going to fight the Lord. You're not going to not want to be what the Lord wants you to be. When you get saved, you're going to receive him joyfully. When I got saved, I didn't run around the church. I didn't kick up my heels. I didn't clap them together. I didn't do any of those things. But I want to tell you, I stood and told the church, I just got saved. But I want to tell you, there's something going on inside me that I can't explain. There was a joy there that I had just come to know Jesus Christ as personal Savior. And I don't know about you, but I could not help it. I wasn't a preacher then. I was a very timid man. And I went the next day to Anaconda Aluminum Company and began to tell people, I got saved. I didn't do it that fervently, but I told people. I said, I got saved. Huh? I got saved. I began to tell them about the Lord and tell them I had received Christ. You know why? There was a joy springing up within me. Now, I'm not saying you're not saved if the next day you didn't go out and tell somebody that you got saved. I'm just simply saying, though, Zacchaeus was not ashamed of the Lord when he got saved. He was ready to let people know that he'd got saved no matter what all his friends were saying. Amen. And he went to Zacchaeus' house. Again, I'm saying to you, if we're not saved, we need to get saved. We need to be born again. We need to come to Christ realizing we're a sinner in the eyes of God, and that sin is on us, and we're carrying that sin, and Jesus is the only one can lift it and give you eternal life. Amen? Now, have I said anything unscriptural? What I'm telling you is truth. You see, you're either saved here this morning or you're on your way to hell. One or the other. One or the other. You're either saved or you're lost. True? It's not for me to decide, but you're one or the other. There's either been a time when you've truly been saved or you're lost. And if you died, you'd go straight to hell. If you're saved and you die, you'd go straight to heaven. Amen? Now, let's go over to the book of Mark, the second chapter of the book of Mark. One of the great problems in dealing with people is that many times they do not feel like they're lost. They just do not feel like they're lost. They never come to that place where they've allowed God to convict them of their lost condition. And I'm going to use some people here, some people like the Pharisees here to show you, and the publicans, they did not believe they was lost either. They did not think they was that bad. So I want to show you in verse number 13, chapter 2 of Mark. And he went forth again by the seaside, and all the multitude resorted unto him, and he taught them. And as he passed by, saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom, and said unto him, Follow me. He arose and followed him. And it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many that were following him. And when the scribes and the Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, How is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? Then Jesus heard it, he said unto them, They that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. You see, the scribes and the Pharisees thought they was better off and more righteous than these sinners here. And they said, What in the world would he be doing going over here and sitting with sinners and publicans? They was self-righteous. They thought, Well, we don't need salvation. And Jesus says, He said, I didn't call those that are well. The one that needs a physician is the one that's sick. In other words, you're going to have to realize you're sin sick before you'll ever get any help. You're going to have to understand in the eyes of God you are lost before you'll ever get saved. You've got to understand in the eyes of God Without Christ, we are sinners. I don't care how good you are. I don't care what you've done in your lifetime. I don't care, no matter what you've done, no matter how you've tried to help people and do all those things. If you're not saved, if you're not a child of God, you haven't been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, you are lost. Now, am I still scriptural? It's what the Bible says. Amen. Say, Brother Ross, are you trying to get on me? No, I'm trying to tell you the truth. I want, when you walk out of here this morning, I want you to know the truth. There's nothing, listen, there's no shame in being lost. The shame is not getting saved when you know you're lost. Amen. So I'm simply saying to you, I want you to get saved. I want every person in here that's not saved, I want you to come to Christ. Amen. And if you are saved, I want your faith encouraged this morning. I want you to thank God for that wonderful salvation that God has given you. Amen. So the real problem here was in seeing yourself as God sees you. See, the Pharisees and the scribes, they did not do that. They did not think there was anything wrong with them. They was religious folk, and they thought that they was just fine. Why in the world would Jesus go over here and sit with these publicans and sinners? Why would Jesus do that? They ought to be fellowshipping with them, I think was what they was saying. But Jesus said, if you're well, you don't need a physician. I'm looking for those who know they're sick. He wasn't saying they was well. They just didn't realize they was sick. Amen? All right. Then only after that, let's go to 1 Corinthians, the first chapter of 1 Corinthians. Verse number 18. 1 Corinthians, first chapter, verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. For unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of the world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them which them that believe. Now, what God is telling us is this. He sends preachers to preach the gospel. He sends preachers to preach the word of God so people can believe. That's what I'm doing up here this morning. That's my responsibility. That's my work. That's what God has given me to do, is to preach the Bible so that you'll understand that you're lost and get saved, or that you are saved and you need to go on and serve the Lord. Amen? So he's just telling us in verse 18 that the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. A lot of people that's unsaved think preaching is foolishness. They look at it as a foolish thing. They look at their watch and say, oh boy, I wish we could get out of here. When is that preacher going to get done? Because to them it is foolish. The preaching of the cross is foolish to them. But the Bible says the preaching of the cross is the way people get saved. Amen? So that's my job. That's what God wanted me to do this morning, is to preach the cross, preach the fact that Jesus Christ loves you. He died on the cross for you. He was buried and rose again for you. And He loves you and wants you to be saved. See, God wants you to know that. Now, I want to show you what will happen over in the book of Acts, the second chapter of the book of Acts. I want to show you in this portion of Scripture what preaching will do if you will listen and allow God to deal with your heart and work with your heart. I want to show you what preaching will do. Listen to verse number 32, chapter 2, book of Acts. Said, this Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, He has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended unto the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, listen to this message, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now I want to stop there a moment. If you'll notice in verse 32, he preached unto them that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. He says in verse number 36, he wanted the house of Israel to know that God hath made this same Jesus, the same Jesus that died, the same Jesus that was raised again from the dead. He has made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, the one that was crucified, both Lord and Christ. He is Lord and he is Christ. Christ means the anointed one of God, the one that God sent to be a propitiation for our sins, or a mercy seat for our sins. He is the one who has died for your salvation. He's the one who died for your sin to give you salvation. He's the one who has done that. Jesus Christ. There isn't any others. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Impossibility. The name of Jesus is the only way any person can get saved, period. Amen. And he made it very clear and plain here that there was only one that had died, only one that was raised again, and only one could save their soul. Now, after that wonderful message, and of course, I didn't show you the whole message. I didn't read to you the whole message of Peter, but he preached Jesus. Amen. Listen to what these men said after that in verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? You know why they did that? They was convicted of their sin. And here's what he says. And Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. And he says, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. In other words, he was saying unto them, believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and show that belief by baptism. After you get saved, you ought to get baptized. That shows that you're a believer. Shows that something has happened in your life. And God has died for you and you've accepted that. You've realized that. Certainly after salvation, you should get baptized. But the baptism is not what saves you. It's belief in Jesus Christ. Amen. Now again, I'm simply saying to you, what should happen after preaching? You ought to realize that you're a sinner. If you're here without Christ, you ought to realize you're a sinner, lost. And what should happen? You ought to allow the Holy Spirit of God to prick your heart. And you ought to say, what should I do? Well, let me tell you what you can do. You can walk right down this aisle. There'll be those standing here waiting for you. We'll be glad to take the Bible, the Word of God, and help you. We want you to be a believer. We want you to know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. I don't want you play church. I want you to realize there's a conviction upon your heart that you've sinned. In the eyes of God, you're a sinner and you need washed from that sin. And the only thing that can wash you from that sin is the blood of Jesus. There isn't anything else. Amen. Now, folks, you say, Brother Ross, do you love me? Boy, I've just proved it. I've just proved it, how much I love you, by telling you how much Jesus loves you and how you can get saved. You see, if I got up here and tickled your ear this morning, that'd be a proof I don't love you. I do care about you. I care what happens to you. I want you to go to heaven. And if you're saved this morning, you'll have that bearing witness in your heart that you're a child of God. Yes, I realize you probably won't be everything you ought to be. None of us are everything we ought to be, but we ought to want to be. We ought to want to be. And what I'm saying to you is simply this. If you're not saved, if the Holy Spirit does not bear witness with your heart that you're a Christian, you're God's child, wouldn't it be a wise thing to simply this morning just come on down this aisle, put your faith, your trust in Jesus Christ, call upon the name of the Lord and be saved? Realizing you're a sinner in need of a Savior. Wouldn't that be the best thing to do? That's what God wants you to do this morning. Amen. So as we're getting ready to pray, I want you to let God work on your heart. I want to ask you this question. If right now you died, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven? Are you 100% sure? If you're not, you can be. The Word of God is clear and plain. how for a person to be saved. You can be prepared for heaven. God loves you. You didn't come by accident this morning. I didn't preach this message by accident this morning. We preached it because God told us to, and you're here because God brought you. Now, are you saved? If not, don't you think it's time to get saved? Do you realize in the eyes of God you're a sinner? And sin is an abomination to God. No matter what people think, God hates sin. But he wants to forgive the sinner. Amen? And he'll do that this morning for you. Let's pray. Everyone, bow your heads, close your eyes. Say, Brother Ross, I know for sure if I died today, I know for sure I'd go to heaven. There's a time when I saw myself as a sinner, realizing that I had sinned, come short of God's glory. And there was a time when I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ as my Savior. I know I'm born again, know I'm ready for heaven. Would you just raise your hand, please? Just raise your hand. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you so much. Say, Brother Ross, I do not know this morning whether I'm saved or not. I don't know if I died right this moment whether I'd go to heaven or not. But I sure would like to know. My heart's been stirred. Realize I'm a sinner in the eyes of God, and I need to get saved. Say, Brother Ross, would you pray for me? And I won't call your name out. I won't do anything like that, I promise you. I won't do that. I won't recognize you or anything. I'll just pray for you. Thank God for you. Say, Brother Ross, I'm not sure. I wish you'd pray for me. Would you just raise your hand, please? Thank you so much. Someone else, please. Someone else. Someone else. Say, I'm not sure if I'm saved. Not sure if I'm born again. Just raise your hand. I'm not going to call your name out. I'm going to embarrass you. I promise you that. All you're doing is by indicating, say, you know, I'm just not sure. And I want you to pray for me. Someone? Let's pray. Father, I thank you again today for the wonderful goodness of God. I thank you, Father, this morning for the truth of the Word of God, that you love us, that you care for us. And Lord, you'll save us if we understand and realize we're just sinner and need to be saved. That's what you came for. You came to seek and to save that which was lost. So, Father, I pray for those today that might be here not sure of their salvation. I pray that this be a day when, Lord, they'd be willing to just let it be known between them and God and get the thing straightened out, get all things proper and right before you. They walk out of this place a child of God, knowing that if they died, they'd go to heaven. And I pray during this invitation that you'd stir hearts. If there's a need whatsoever, that they'd come here tonight, today, to this altar of prayer. We'll thank and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.